Here it comes.
Hi everyone, my name's Rod Lane. I'm a lecturer in education over here in ACES. My particular specialty is methodologies units in economics and business studies. So I get the fourth year diploma of education students doing their 1 year conversion, often from an accounting degree or a business degree, to become economics business studies teachers. And I've used LANs for a number of purposes, but in particular today I wanted to talk about the basic lesson planning function that I've used LANs for, which I've actually found quite useful. I found in particular when I get these fourth year students into my course and they're learning about how to construct lessons, that they're quite self-conscious. They tend to worry a lot about what they're doing and very little about what the class or the students are doing. So I set up this sequence. It's on the pros and cons of globalization, which is obviously relevant to both economics and business studies content anyway. What it does, it requires them to first of all vote whether they think globalization is a good or bad thing. So I have a pre-vote at the start. They collect information off the internet being directed to specific sites. In groups, they look at the different perspectives of people about globalization, and it works all the way through. They share their information in a forum, and they eventually submit their information that they've collected as an essay discussion, arguments for and against globalization. That's nice in terms of communicating content. The actual purpose of it is to get them to deconstruct the lesson design itself. So we then go back through it, and I ask the students to identify what information was given to them by the teacher at each point. Okay, was this sufficient information to do the task? Does it link with the outcome, which is outlined back at the beginning of the sequence? And what activities are the students actually undertaking throughout the sequence? Are they relevant? Are they irrelevant to the outcome that was put up at the beginning? Okay, and what I find is that I get student teachers becoming far more conscious about what it is that they're actually having the students do at each point. They can also see the variety of the different tasks that they're planning for the students. So the advantage that I've found in using that task is that they very quickly shift away from a me focus. You know, how loud is my class? Am I organising this properly? Do I know the content well enough? To actually start thinking about what are the students actually doing? Are they producing a product that links with the outcome that I targeted back at the beginning? And if not, why not? And how should I go back to restructure this task so that it does that? After having worked through my sequence, they have to design their own. So they've had a go at deconstructing the sequence. They can see what the teachers put up there in terms of information and instructions. They can see the sorts of activities that the students have been required to do. And they've assessed whether the product that the students produce at the end is reflective of the aim at the beginning. They then get an outcome of their own, and they have to go through the process themselves. That's basically how it works. Were there any questions about that? Yes?
What you're saying is getting up to the forum just before the stop point there.
Yes.
Is that where they completed the assignment? Or you actually get to discuss it after they get down to the submit files?
I've stopped them there because they collect all of their information, they do all their research up the top there, and then I leave the students for a week at home to discuss with each other the issues. I didn't want them to start writing until I saw them the week after, hence the stop sign. And along the bottom here are scaffolds to help them construct that essay.
Yep. And then submitting the file is the final essay.
It's the final essay.
The forum is the question and answer, reflecting on the process.
Yeah. Okay, so I deliberately stopped them because I didn't want them to race ahead. What I particularly did not want is them pasting the information straight out of the websites into the scaffold at the end. And that made sure that that couldn't happen because they didn't know what the structure of the final argument was. They knew that they had to argue pros and cons of globalisation, but they didn't have the structure that they were going to do that in until the very end. That's fine. It was just a basic lesson planning sequence that I had.
One more question.
Yes? That's okay.
When the students who were getting, who were doing this, did you say the economics?
Economics, business studies, so commerce.
The point of them making their own sequence is for what?
I would then want to see whether they can put themselves in the position of the learner as opposed to worrying about the content and delivery all the time and come up with a sequence of instruction that makes sense in terms of an outcome that they're trying to produce.
Okay, so for economics, say, you would actually be some, they're not actually then going on to become teachers or educators, or
they're pre-service teachers.
Okay, I thought you meant
economics. Yes, sorry.
In the real world.
No, I should have explained that. No, then.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, they're pre-service teachers in their fourth year. Sorry, I should have made that clear. The whole thing is a bit silly otherwise. There might be better economists. But thank you. I'll stop there and hand on to Pam. Thanks.
Pam Fernie is one of our other teacher educators at
I also work in schools, so I have fairly first-hand knowledge of what teachers actually do with technology in the schools. I actually don't want to talk to you about a specific sequence, but I want to talk to you a little bit about my observations of watching these students go through the course that Leanne was outlining a little bit earlier. I asked the students last year a question right at the end of the course. What technologies would you consider now, after the course, using in your classroom? And 90% of the hands went up. It was LAMS, 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 LAMS. What I was most disturbed about was that, to me, LAMS is a tool, and LAMS is a container, I suppose. And you do have some fantastic tools within LAMS, but you also have the ability to use a whole heap of other technologies in your course, in your lesson, and to scaffold the use of them through LAMS. So LAMS, to me, became a container. I got much more used to talking to the students about what it was they really should focus on in their LAMS sequences when they were designing one for assessment and later when they were designing one for the use in the classroom. We went right back to basics. We went right back to the good pedagogy that one should use in planning a lesson. And the first thing that I talked to the students about was knowing the sort of understanding you would want your students to carry away with them at the end of the course. So students in a classroom, if they were, say, doing a, let's say, a unit of work on the Antarctica, something like that, what is it that you would want your students in a classroom to understand several years down the track? It's probably not the number of flora and fauna that is in Antarctica. It's more likely that you would want your students to have a big understanding of the concept of how fragile Antarctica is and why it is important to preserve that. So, first of all, we talked a lot about the understandings that the students would want. We then talked about building the assessments and the tasks that they would add to their sequence that would actually support that understanding. So right from the beginning, they have their outcomes from whatever syllabus they're using, but they have the broad understanding. Then we target the quality of the questions. You are not going to perhaps put up worksheets that you would use with pencil and paper. Why not use the online environment to keep, to use the tools in the online environment, the Web2 tools, the multimedia, the visualization, all those sorts of things that you can do using a tool like LAMS where you can't particularly do in pencil and paper. So we talked about that. I think this year the results from the students were better because I know Leanne was and Pam were both reflecting that as well. I did mark one student's work. The student was very, very proud of her language sequence. It was so boring. It was amazing. The engagement and motivation for her students would not have been there at all. She complained, so Pam stepped in and adjudicated in that. Luckily, Pam agreed with me. So my observation is that first and foremost, I have to talk to the students about pedagogy and then how terrific LAMS is for scaffolding that and using it right throughout. Also, of course, we have the ability to use the Web 2 tools and reuse learning objects and things like that. So I think I probably want to impress upon you that when you are starting off with LAMS, do not just focus on LAMS, focus on the learning that your students will have, or rather your students' students will have in the classroom. Any questions?
Was there any involvement from the students? So you were teaching teachers in classrooms, but the students they were teaching, what kind of involvement with the ability that they have to use LAMS or the Web 2 tools within that environment?
Well, most of them are full-time students at present, so hopefully they will have loved LAMS enough to go out into a school and persuade the school. So it is normally full-time, or if not, they are very, very junior teachers in their school and doing their fourth year.
So do you mean to say that when you're teaching teachers, they don't do any, like, you don't go out to the classroom to teach, or is just there's no way to actually use LAMS in the classroom, so they're teaching it?
They're designing a sequence for a lesson plan that they will and can teach in a classroom. The fact is, probably they can't do it under the present circumstances because they're out in the classrooms on prac, or they're out in the classrooms as a very junior teacher and would have to lobby the school to have LAMS. Yes. And then getting it into the schools is harder.
Okay, any more questions, Pam? Now we'll move on to Kerianna Sullivan, who looks after our methodology in English.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm Dr. Kerianna Sullivan. I'm a senior lecturer in the School of Education, and I coordinate the English and Drama methodology. I've previously researched on LAM and published on LAMS from that perspective, so I was keen to actually look at LAMS integrated into my own teaching practice. I work with the final year methodology students for English, so pre-service teachers, and I thought about what I'd learned from researching LAMS and thinking how I could apply that into my own classroom practice. So my aim was very much to obviously incorporate technology into my teaching and model, as we try to do for our pre-service teachers. But alongside that, I was also thinking about, as Rod was talking about in economics, the content area. One of the areas in English that we work with is websites. So this was a perfect opportunity to take that thing that I would teach them about critically analysing websites and put that into a LAMS sequence. I wanted also them to think critically about the ways in which they would teach their own future students, and certainly Leanne spoke about that and the other members have mentioned that already. And I wanted to use a blended classroom environment where the students were interacting with each other together, but also were interacting online. So I actually chose a model where we could chat next door to each other, but also chat online to see how that would work, because I was trying to mirror perhaps more typically what the actual classroom at school would be like. So that was the sort of thinking behind this. Why did I want to do it? Well, I wanted also to build their greater understanding of how to interpret and construct meaning in an electronic medium, to model important teaching skills, so that technology, is exactly as Pam was saying, wasn't just a tool. I mean, my only interest is in pedagogy. So it was how I could look at that in a pedagogical way and talk about learning. At the same time, I wanted to improve their literacy skills in terms of analysis of technology and the ways in which we look at electronic literacies, particularly through websites. And a byproduct would be to build their own confidence in using technology, because as Rod described, we have quite a range, certainly in English. My area is the largest in the secondary education program. So I have undergraduate students who've come from school, been at university 3-4 years, and then I have a number of, great number in fact, of people who've got degrees, been out in workforce, etc. So they have very different experiences. So what I did was prepare a learning sequence called WWW, Working with Websites, to get my students to analyse three websites, Star Wars, Mambo and Picture Australia. I chose three that would be very much ones that you would use with students at school, three very different websites, and felt that this was a way to really critically engage their thinking. I scaffolded the process of textual analysis through a series of tasks that really stimulated their participation and a lot of exchange of opinions. Essentially, the tools that I used, and you've seen enough of LAMS to know, were some notice board tools. It was a very streamlined design, deliberately, because I was introducing my students to LAMS, and this was also my first sequence, so I wasn't too ambitious. Notice board, share resources. In the share resources tool, the great thing, which the others have already mentioned and so has Leanne, was the fact that I could put in the URL. When they clicked, there was the Mambo site exactly as I wanted. Instead of when I've taught this sequence not in a LAM sequence, where we were clicking back and forth, putting in URLs, running to Mambo, then to Star Wars and so on. The great thing about this, and Pam used the word container, that it was contained. So it was all there in front of you. I had forums built in. I used the voting tool, so vote for the most effective website, and then, of course, the online chat with a reflection component at the end. One of the things in our pedagogical model in teaching our student teachers is very much a reflective model. Whatever we do, they have to reflect on what learning has been achieved. So the first set of activities involved students in building their understandings about the social purposes of websites and the general features of design in a website, which I feel is a very important skill anyway, let alone when we actually study these in English subject. The second set constructed a series of templates focusing on key elements of the actual website design. So, for example, I directed them to look at colour, image, print, language, navigation, and then this whole interesting thing that certainly, as both a researcher and a teacher, fascinates me, the whole position of the viewer or the reader of the website. And they worked through those activities. Now, as a result of that, when I initially did this a couple of years ago, I then formally evaluated it, because I actually wanted to see whether, well, you know, does this whiz-bang idea actually work? And the evaluations were overwhelming. And because I was worried that perhaps English people, the traditional bias, oh, well, the English people won't get it, you know, they're all too creative, they're not going to do technology, was the absolute reverse. They were able to see the creative possibilities of using the technology. One of them, just a quotation, "I loved it and I know the kids will love it." In answer to a previous question of Pam, did any of my students or have our students taught the sequence? Because I've been around a while, mine have. Some of mine have taken my sequence because it's available on LAMS Community and they've actually taught it in school and it's worked. And that's very gratifying to me because that's what it's about. You know, we can have all these wonderful ideas, but if students don't learn anything, then we've wasted a lot of time. The good things about it, it kept them on task, it kept them moving through a variety of activities. It was a very effective sequence in the sense that it was simple. You didn't have to have all of these wonderful things. It was quite simple. It kept people moving. Pam said, and Rod also, the online chat worked well because everyone got a voice. And it allowed much more contribution because, as we all know, in any class there'll be those people who speak and those people who hide. So this way, it actually, because I structured them in groups, they were forced to actually speak.
Did you use the chat synchronously?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you find it too slow and sludgy to have to type, and then someone prepares up, by the time you answer there, someone else has?
It was interesting because I felt that myself. You know, my brain thinks faster than my hand types. But actually, they seemed to get into that. And what I noticed was there was the whole discourse of being on a chat is quite different than if we were structuring nice, elegant sentences. And I was very interested in the language, so it became very focused in terms of have your say, but without perhaps some of the extra courtesy. You know, it wasn't that they were discourteous, but it was perhaps using phrases or key words rather than writing beautifully, neatly formed sentences. Bearing in mind these are English people. So they actually adapted their language to the discourse of the chat. So, and most of them didn't complain that they were too slow. There were a couple of people going, hang on a minute. And this was where, as I said, having the chat but also being next door going, hang on a minute, Rod, slow down. You know, I'm still trying to catch up. So for me that works because that's that whole social purpose of learning. We don't have to sit in silence. Talking online to the person next to us to me seems a bit stupid. Why can't I just say, hey, Pam? So, I mean, that was also as part of my brief of modelling for my students.
How many did you have on at once?
Sorry?
How many students?
I routinely have 20 plus as a group. I'd put them into small groups first, and then they'd done small group chats, and then I allowed the very final tool that I used was it just a full-on chat, so a full forum, and that was, you know, I mean, it was a bit the quick and the dead, of course, but what I found was it was also one of my big things because, you know, in school we have to work collaboratively, so I want my students to learn to work collaboratively as well. So you actually can't hog the space. They needed to say something and then let someone else have a say. I actually think that's very important modelling. It's probably quite a side byproduct to the whole thing. But that, you know, they need to learn, take a turn, because teachers like to dominate anyway, so, you know. Yeah.
You can actually vary between the chat and forum, can't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
The chats where it's just...
So I structured it. Yeah. So I used both to do that. So the end was really the chat at the end was a bit of a, you know, you can have a bit of a go now. And you know, because you like to engender that little bit of, this is also enjoyable while we're learning. Plus to get their honest reactions. And I needed to learn as well.
And I don't know if you monitor as you're going along.
I do.
When you've got the chat on,
So you can actually see that's the final thing is that having the record of it all is actually terribly valuable.
Awesome.
This year it didn't, I'll be honest, it didn't work as well for me moving my sequence because it was established into LAMS 2. So my memo for myself is next year I need to actually, you know, find the time to redo it back to how it worked so well. This year there were various technical things, not the least of the actual room in which we were trying to do it. But I think, you know, that's an ongoing thing for all of us. It's about refining and relearning.
Things a bit different as well.